In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, did you hear the epistle today? In it, St. Paul says to us, the day has come, the time is at hand. Now our salvation is closer and nearer to us than when we first believed. This epistle is selected for us as we are about to enter in upon the season of the Great Fast, Great Lent, this time of preparation for a Holy Pascha. In past years, as we gathered on Forgiveness Sunday, we looked at illustrations that show us how we can make this journey to Pascha, which is reconciliation with God and reconciliation with one another. This entrance into this kingdom of unity. Last year we spoke about, in the work of Dostoevsky, Crime and Punishment, this fellow Rodian who had committed two murders, and he sought to be reconciled with God and with his neighbor. And now he was told by this pious prostitute, Sophia, that he was to go to the roadside where the roads intersected, this crossroad of life, and to make a prostration in every direction, and to ask forgiveness of one and all. And we said that this is for us a model of what we do in the Great Fast. We ask forgiveness of everyone, everywhere, every time, and for everything. And we not only ask this forgiveness, but we offer it to everyone, everywhere, for everything and every time. And it's in this forgiveness that we achieve unity with God and unity with each other. In past years, we looked at the circle of St. Dorotheus of Gaza, who told his disciples, draw a circle on the ground. And in it, in the very center, put a cross. And he said to his disciples, each and every one of us is a point along that outer circle. And as we draw closer to God, who is in the center, through the cross, we draw closer to one another. That circle gets smaller. We arrive at unity. Today, as we embark upon this journey towards forgiveness and reconciliation, this journey towards God and each other, we'll look at another illustration. An illustration of how we can go from our own ego to identification with Christ, where our true self is hidden. We're meant to go from our own separate individual persons to unity with Christ, to unity with God and the church, and become part of his body. This is what Great Lent is about. Great Lent is simply a microcosm of the general Christian life, which is about unity with God and each other in Christ. Great Lent is where we realize most powerfully what it is to be the church. We realize that we have shared life with God and each other through the church. And of course, this is the foundation, the underpinning of every thought, desire, word, indeed, every hope, every aspiration, every goal, every success, this is by which we measure everything in our life, this unity with God and with each other. There is nothing else in life. There's nothing else for us. It is all distraction if it is not about this. Today's illustration is given to us in the liturgical commemoration of the day. We commemorate the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise. And it's a wonderful commemoration at this time because it speaks to us about repentance, about turning back to God. But it also foreshadows, in an inverse way, the work of Christ, who is the new Adam. The old Adam, together with Eve, sinned in the garden, and they left paradise. They fell into corruption and death and disunity with one another. The new Adam, Christ, restores us to paradise. He says to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. He reconciles and he brings us back to life. When we see the old Adam and we compare him to the new Adam, we see inverse characteristics. Think about Adam in the garden. He exemplified for us what it is to fall into sin. When we think of sin, we think first and foremost of Adam, whose sin we all have replicated countless times and participated in ourselves. But we think of sin, we think of the first sinner, we think of Adam. He fell into sin. And we also think about the fact that when he fell into sin, he didn't own up to it. He didn't own his sin. In fact, what did he do? He blamed Eve. In fact, he didn't just blame Eve, he actually blamed God too. This woman who you gave to me, she gave me this fruit. And Eve, who was supposed to be the helpmate, what did she do? Did she say, Adam, no, listen, we ate of it together. We should own it together. We should repent of it together. No. What did she say? Oh, it's a serpent. We didn't do anything. They blamed others. So they sinned, they didn't own it, and they blamed others. The characteristic of the old Adam, and it led to disunity and division from God and from each other. The new Adam, exactly the opposite. He comes and what does he show? Not what it is to sin, but what it is to be sinless. Well, he's sinless. How could he own sin? What does he do? He takes on our sins upon himself. He owns our sins. Imagine that. He owns our sins. And does he point the finger? When he's on the cross, does he point the finger at those who are committing the greatest sin ever, ever imaginable? The rejection and putting to death of God incarnate. Does he blame anyone? Does he point the finger? Just the opposite. What does he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He makes excuse for others. So in one case we see sin, in the other case, sinlessness. In one case, a lack of ownership of sin. In the other case, an ownership of other people's sins. In one case, the pointing the finger and blaming. And the other, the making of excuses for others. The exact opposite. And of course, brothers and sisters, our journey that we're on towards Pascha is really about a journey from the old man in us to the new man. We have to become Christ-like. That is what we're doing here. That's why we've been created, to know what it is to be in union with God through Christ. In the church, in Great Lent, that is our destiny. And Great Lent is a time for us to do it more seriously. To not do it half-heartedly. If there's any time of the year to get serious about your Christian life, it's now, right? Now's the time where there's no more excuses. Now's the time to really double down on what it is to be a disciple of the Lord. Now our salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. And we can't stop halfway on this journey. And that is, brothers and sisters, a great temptation for us. To be kind of pseudo-Christians, half-baked Christians, lukewarm Christians. This is what we see in the world today. The standard of Christianity has fallen greatly. Now, to be a good Christian, you just have to be kind of a good guy. Don't harm anybody. Don't do anything bad. And you're a good Christian. We've lost the vision of who Christ is. He's disappearing from our society. And we lost the vision of who we're to become in Christ. We've lost this high standard. And that means we've settled for what the world has given us instead. You think about Forgiveness Sunday. You think about our approach to it, our attitude. When we come to the church and we ask one another's forgiveness, when we ask God's forgiveness, are we coming asking God to be free from every sin? Or just the ones that really bother us? Not so much the ones that maybe bother Him. When we come, are we willing to own only those things that we want to list maybe in confession that we feel comfortable saying? Are we really willing to own them all? Even the ugliest sins? The ones that we know we commit, that we're guilty of. But it's so hard to say, I really do own that fully. Are we willing to come and say, I don't blame anyone for their sins. I don't point the finger of accusation. Instead, I'm willing to make excuses. Maybe they've fallen into sin because of my falling into sin. Maybe they haven't acquired virtue because I haven't acquired virtue. Maybe their sin is actually on me. Maybe I should take ownership not just of my own sins, but I should also take ownership of their sins. This is, after all, the way of Christ. But to do this, we realize it's also the way of the cross. It's not easy. It's not pleasant. But it's the way of the disciple who takes up their cross and follows the Lord. It's the way of Great Lent. It's what we're really supposed to be focusing on right now. I'll end with something which my wife showed me. She saw a t-shirt, and it's really a great t-shirt in many ways. It says on the front, I'm sorry I'm late, but I didn't want to come. So it's kind of like, I'm here, late, but I didn't really want to come. It's like half-half, right? It's like being lukewarm, half-baked. I don't know what it said on the back, but maybe it could have said Great Lent on the back. Sorry, I'm coming late to Great Lent, but I didn't really want to be here. Maybe it says Divine Liturgy on the back. Maybe it says the church on the back. Maybe it says heaven on the back. I'm sorry I'm late for the high calling, for this unity, but I didn't really want to come. I think we should, my wife and I, as a business venture, we should come up with a t-shirt that says, I'm sorry I'm early, but I couldn't wait to come. And on the back, put Great Lent, Divine Liturgy, the church, heaven, unity, right? And sisters, now the day is at hand. Salvation is closer to us than when we first believed. This is the time for joy. This is the time to take hold of that which we're called to in Christ. Our salvation and the salvation of each and every other person. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.